It is time for Arts Live and Local. We're going to start right out with some music, and that's music related to my first guest, and it's all about the 11th Annual Pacific Northwest Brew Cup. It's going on right now over at the Old Train Depot. Stay tuned and listen up for River Giant. Oh my God. Holy moly, they certainly do start out with a bang, that group. So I wasn't quite ready for that. And that is River Giant. What an appropriate name of a band for this event. And actually, the piece we just heard was Out Here Outside, which is where you're going to be. And you will be with my first two guests. I have Jack Harris and Brian Bovenizer, who are part of the Fort George. Are you guys the, you must be the admiral or something? What are you at the Fort George, Jack Harris?
You know, I clean the bathrooms and whatever it takes to get through the day.
Janitorial.
Janitorial.
Yes.
We have board members here that do that
Fix
kind of
slinky
stuff.
Sinks.
That's a good thing. Keep that in mind. Brian, how about you? What do you do over?
My official title is the Ambassador of Marketing Ambiance. I'm just the ambassador to the janitor and
I see.
Make sure that I hold it down for
folks, him. It's going to be a good time. It is, as I mentioned, the 11th Annual Pacific Northwest Brew Cup, and it's happening at the Train Depot in, I love this, east side of Astoria. So what is this? What is this Brew Cup thing? What does that even mean?
Well, the Brew Cup is something that Jen and Chris Holland started from the Baked Alaska 11 years ago. And they have, the last 4 or 5 years, I've worked with them helping on the beer side. And then last year after the festival, we kind of handed the whole thing over to the ADHDA, the Astoria Downtown Historical District Association.
Very good. You got that all on one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, that we're all, it's a much larger and more organized group of people putting it together this year. And so we've got 38 beers. And we call it the Brew Cup because there is a couple of very informal, nearly tongue-in-cheek sort of competitions. There is the Thar She Blows Award, which would be the first keg to blow over the weekend.
What does that mean, to blow?
To empty out. So when a keg empties, you get nothing but foam out of it. So it looks very whale like. It kind of blows. The R she blows.
Very clever.
Yes,
okay.
It's got that nautical thing too.
Yeah.
And we also have an award for People's Choice Award. So on all of the programs, there's a little ballot that you can fill out your favorite beer of the event. And did I just say stuff the ballot? No, you stick it in the ballot box. And those awards are really a neat thing about those this year is Claude from Fernhill Glass made the awards, and they're really, really beautiful.
So they're
trophies.
Really nice, yeah.
Yeah, they're super nice looking.
So, okay. So, what? Where are these beers coming from? They're not all from Fort George.
Oh, no. We have a couple there. We've got a lot of beers from little brew pubs in Portland, from like the Fifth Quadrant and Alameda. Burnside Brewing and places like that. We've got beer from Albany, Kalapuya Brewing Company. We've got beers from Pendleton, the Prodigal Son Brewing. We've got
goodness.
Beer from Walking Man in Washington, and Everybody's Brewing in White Salmon. And then up in Westport, they sent a beer too. We've got beer from, I'm trying to think of the furthest south beer. Well, Rusty Truck came up from Lincoln City.
So they're all Oregon beers?
Except for the ones from Washington.
Northwest, right. Washington is close enough. That's almost Oregon.
And the ones that are from Washington are kind of on the water close to Oregon.
Okay,
so,
okay. Can we go back a little bit? What was the, this whole explosion of beer? Oh, wait, what did you call it?
Did you say explosion?
I know that was, ooh!
That's for ambiance. All of the beer is on draft down there. That was just a little ambiance thing to get people excited.
Hope you caught that.
Go ahead. What
folks.
Was the question again? The explosion of beer?
Oh, the explosion of it's not homemade beer. It's small.
We call it craft brew. Is kind of the category that it's in.
How long has this been going on though in the Pacific Northwest?
25, pushing 30 years now. They started
really?
Brew pubs started opening in the Northwest and. It's really remarkable. Last year, there were in over 2,000 breweries in the United States, and that was the most breweries since before Prohibition. So we've gone past where they started closing down for
Prohibition. So it's happening all over the country?
All over the country. It kind of started here in the Northwest.
It did.
But it is definitely a nationwide phenomenon now.
And how long have you had the Fort George then?
Fort George has been open for a little over 5.5 years.
Only. Oh, it feels like it's been here forever.
That's
good.
It's
just a real home, yeah. And that brings us, actually, one of the things that I get to play with Fort George is the Sunday night music. I often have the CD from the musicians, and I get to play them. So let me step over to Brian, because I think you're a part of this, what's going on in the music scene. Not only is there beer, and by the way, there is non-alcoholic drinks as well, right? For children.
Yes, there are. Yeah, there are. We have lots of food vendors down there, and they're all selling all sorts of different drinks and stuff. So yeah, it's very family friendly.
Right.
So there's a whole kids area, and Brian will talk about the music and everything. We're doing Troll Live
That's
down
right.
there.
That's right. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock is Troll Live.
So the whole thing is meant geared for families to be able to come down there and enjoy a few beers and wander around, listen to music.
And did I hear that that Baked Alaska is going to get back in on it? Because they started it, but they've been out of it for...
Yeah, they've been so busy running the festival that they haven't had their own food down there. But this year they
have
their own food truck down there.
Some salmon sliders right now that are phenomenal.
Oh, stop. I haven't eaten yet. Okay, so what are we doing in music? Well, we know we have this band that I just played.
Yeah, that's River Giant. They're actually from the Long Beach area. You know, when Jen and Chris passed this on to the downtown administration, they asked me to wrangle together some music. I've been playing music with a couple bands. The band that's playing right now, The Hackles, you guys in KMUN supported
us a bunch.
They're playing right now.
You're the drummer, aren't you?
I am the drummer, yeah. Luke Yitzy's brother, Olaf, is sitting in right now, and I'm sure he's doing a phenomenal
job. How cool.
Job.
I remember because you guys, The Hackles, played at the at Troll Radio.
We played at Troll,
at the
and
PAC
then
you,
KMUN
time.
Did a show for us at the PAC that was a ton of fun. We sold all of our CDs. We don't even have anymore.
Well, it's great. So, okay.
Yeah, so we put together music throughout the entire weekend, Friday and Saturday and for Growler Sunday. We had the Brownsmead Flats kick us off today.
Yay.
I tried to keep the music as Northwest as the beer was, and not just some people from Astoria and Long Beach, but also some people from Portland and in Washington.
And even Brownsmead.
Oh. And even Brownsmead.
It is the center of the universe.
Oh.
Yeah, so we got
yes.
We got together an awesome list of musicians to play all weekend, and you guys at KMUN came together for us tomorrow. We're going to be broadcasting live from 11 until 2. After Troll Radio Review is done, the The Crossroads show is going to be live from there. We have Israel Nebaker, Katie Claiborne, and Luke Itzy of Blind Pilot. They're going to play a set. And then after that, Michael Hurley is going to play a set.
Ooh, from Brownsmead.
From Napa, he claims. So.
Oh, I'm going to have to talk to him. He is on the border, it's true, but we'll have a little talk. So who else? Name some of the other bands.
Today we got River Giant coming on at 5:30. Before them is a guy called Edmund Duane, and he is playing from 4 to 5. He also plays with the River Giant guys up from Seattle. And then the Res Electrics from Portland, they are a blues, kind of upbeat blues band. And then Finn Riggins, they are a three-piece kind of synth pop rock band. No, so we have everything from blues
I thought you were going to say Celtic with a name like that, Finn Riggins, but okay.
You'd think so, yeah. just all different variety, just like the beer. We have a spruce tip beer, and then we have fresh hop beers and stouts. I wanted the music to be a variety that everybody could enjoy.
So you're having music nonstop for the whole festival? Is that
That is true, yeah. Really? The entire time we
Beautiful.
Will have music.
So today the festival is going till 10
It's going
10
on
o'clock?
Right now until 10.
Till 10 o'clock. And again, tell people where the train depot is,
So right behind City Lumber is kind of where the spot is.
Do you know what street that is?
Well, that is Commercial, actually.
Yeah,
22nd,
the
between
street.
20th and 22nd is kind of where the festival is.
Okay.
And it's the very east end of the
Maritime
Museum area there. And there
is parking available?
And this time next year, they will have that whole train depot revamped, and it's going to be a really beautiful location down there. It's already really nice to be on the river down there. I think it's a highly underutilized resource in
Well,
this
it's
town.
Exciting that the preservation classes are working on it now. I mean, that's the whole idea. We have such resources in Astoria, you know, like the Performing Arts Center, the train depot, these buildings that should not be torn down. The Liberty was that way, you know. People wanted to tear it down, and smart people said, God, are you kidding me? Look what we have. So
no, it's
exciting.
The next couple of nights, the moon is going to be coming up over the river, and the music's going to be playing. It's going to be really
so
beautiful.
Tomorrow, Saturday, is 11 a.m. when Troll Radio starts until 10 p.m., and then Sunday is 11 a.m. till 4.
Correct.
Okay. And what else you got? Anything else that you want to tell
us?
Just
a couple more bands that are playing. We got Lost Lander coming out from Portland for their first Astoria show, I think. Holiday Friends are going to be playing tomorrow night, as well as Ma Barley is going to be closing us out. Another KMUN favorite.
Oh, that's definitely going to be worth the whole thing. I mean, it's just wonderful. I've got Blind Pilot coming up behind us. They are, again, going to be playing at noon tomorrow, right after Troll Radio. So come on down. This is definitely a family event, obviously, because we're having Troll Radio there. And it's great for the adults, too, eh?
That's right.
Party time. Jack already has a glazed look, and he has, you know, we've just started the festival. Hey, thank you so much for making this happen. 11th year of the Pacific Northwest Brew Cup here in Astoria. If you've got friends who are thinking of coming out to the coast, tell them to come on over to Astoria and drop in. And it is a benefit. Every year it is a benefit. This year it's for the ADHDA, and that's the Astoria Downtown Historical District Association.
Of America.
There you go. Thanks, Jack Harris and Brian Bovenizer from the Fort George Brewery. Thank you so much. And I'm going to let Blind Pilot take us through. And you are listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
You are a long ways up a river from home. Right here, this water is mean, but it's the same as your own. Better swim for your life. It's both at the same time. It was a wild idea to start. A drip on the head got it wet in my heart. And it looked just like a river, but was a freeway in the dark. Oh, in the dark.
And again, that's Blind Pilot. Hopefully you know their voices by now. That's our local lovelies. And two of those local lovelies are going to be playing tomorrow right after Troll Radio Review at the Pacific Northwest Brew Cup at the train depot. You'll have Israel Nebaker and Luke Yitzti and Katie Claiborne. Whew, are we rich or what? So one of the richnesses that we have in this town is because there is a community college. And, things come and go, and sometimes we're happy and sometimes we're sad. But we do the best we can with the resources we have. And that's in order to make this community a rich place. And one of the richest parts of the college is the arts department. And I have Kristen Schock here with me, who is the painting, drawing, and design instructor. And Kristen is here because a brand new show is going up, or is up.
It is up. It's actually been up through this week.
Yeah. Now, that's unusual. The opening for it is this coming Thursday evening, which is the 4th of October. How did October get in here? I don't know, but here it is. 6 p.m. at the College Art Gallery. That is all the way up 16th. Take a left as far as you can go, take a left and go as far as you can go, and that's where the gallery is. And then you can just park your car or walk or bike if you've got really strong legs and come to this exhibit. But it's open now already during the days?
Absolutely.
The gallery is open.
Right, and usually through the early evening at least, depending on if classes are being offered there in the building.
Okay.
Through the evening. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about the exhibit. It's called Lifelines, and you have two artists. Tell us.
Right. Really excited about this show that's kicking off our exhibition season. These are actually two artists who were selected from the international show that we have at the college every year in February, Au Naturel. And this year, for the first time in history, in the history of the competition, which
yes.
is 7 years now.
No, really? Seven years?
Well, this will be our seventh one coming up.
Good for you.
I can't believe
it. Kristen introduced this show to us, Au Naturel, and it was, at first, there was a big question mark in some people's minds, but that quickly went away when they saw how incredibly successful it's been. So what happened this year?
Well, for the first time, we decided the faculty went through the artists can submit proposals for exhibits throughout the year in the gallery, and typically we just choose one solo exhibit, but there were so many strong applications this year that we decided to feature two artists in a two-person show.
Mm-hmm.
And these artists are coming from out of state. They're both practicing professionals. One is an architect, Don mm-hmm. Copper. He's a practicing architect who also does his fine art as a release to the pressures of his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he's based in Chicago.
Oh, my. So he's coming here from Chicago.
He's coming all the way from Chicago. He actually came for the opening, the Au Naturel opening in
wow.
February. So
fabulous.
I've already had a chance to meet him in person. He's really great, fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll also be teaching a workshop. It's already full, but if you call and let me know, we can put you on the waiting list. You
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes people have to cancel from one reason or
and
another.
That's happening on
Thursday? Is happening the
Friday.
Following day after the reception.
Okay.
Which is October 5th.
Which is Friday.
Friday, okay. October 5th from 10 to 3 with a 1 hour lunch break.
Okay.
And I might be able to squeeze one more person.
What's your number?
My number is 503-338-2472.
2472. So, folks, if that's something you want to do, what is he going to be doing?
Well, he's going to be doing what is called automatic drawing, which some of you might be familiar with automatic writing. It's a parallel where basically we'll just be creating marks spontaneously from subconscious impulses. And we're going to be working with charcoal powder, a graphite powder, and sticks, charcoal sticks and graphite sticks.
So if this is something that sounds interesting to you and you're not already signed up, call Kristen's phone and leave a message right now, because if she has one spot left and you're the first one to call, you might get it. 503-338-2472, or you'll be at the top of the waiting list. Okay, so that is Don Copper from Chicago, fine artist and architect. Who's your other artist?
Well, the other artist's name is Kerry Conboy, and he's also a really great guy. And although he wasn't able to come to the opening in February, he did come up this summer to Astoria because he had a press run. He's a practicing graphic designer from Monterey, California.
Oh, okay.
And he used to live in Portland years ago, but he's now based in Monterey, California, and he still has ties to the Northwest. But he is a really great, fun guy. He has an interesting history of, he describes himself as an old hippie, I think.
Okay.
And he's been involved in music and different things, and he's just really laid back and fun. And he does these wonderful collages that are just very spontaneously drawn. And I think that's the link between both artists, is this kind of very spontaneous and gestural approach to art making.
Wow. So the reason there are two instead of one is that people want...
Well, we will be having the solo show of the art... The one artist who was selected from the Au Naturel, and that will be coming up in November.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. How rich we are. So this is happening this coming Thursday night is the opening. Now, Dawn will be there from Chicago? Or neither of them will be there for that?
For the reception, both are coming.
Oh, they
They'll
are.
Both be here.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, and Kerry is also giving a talk, and please let me know if you're interested in coming. It's
that?
Kind of early, 8 a.m. in room 101 in the art building, and he's going to be talking about careers in art.
Oh, what day is that?
That's October 5th, so immediately
day.
Before Dawn's workshop.
Excellent. So you could do a double whammy. Same phone number. Okay, now that's the show Lifelines, which is up now. So if you're not going to be here for the opening, but you're here now, check it out. You can go over to the, and they, again, it's up on Lexington. And it's about 17th, 18th Street, somewhere in that area. But it's a dead end, so you can't go any further.
1799 is our address.
Oh, well, there you go.
1799 Lexington.
That's between 17th and 18th. There you go. Okay. And now, what else did you want
to
tell us?
Well, I did want to just let everyone know that we are currently accepting submissions for the 2013 Au Naturel competition. So through entering the show, there's opportunities for submitting proposals for the two-person shows, like both Kerry and Don are exhibiting, and the solo show, and but primarily is the big group show that we have. It's international, and we're accepting submissions through November 7th.
Okay, through the 7th of November. Okay, and this is happening in February, so don't think, oh, well, I have a lot of time. You don't. November 7th is a month away. And what do people have to send you? Or where can they get more information? Is there a website?
There is a website. Okay. And we have the prospectus with all of the information, the guidelines on how to submit work on the Au Naturel website, which is www.aunaturelart.com. Please remember to put in the art, because if you just put in Au Naturel, you'll get some like cosmetics page or something.
And that's spelled AUNATUREL. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You've got the show coming up from the last one, this double show, and then the solo show, and you're already accepting the submissions for the next show. Fantastic. It just keeps on going there. So
that's right.
And there's lots more going on in the art department, and it's a great place and space, and the most important thing is to keep it alive. Did you want to mention something about that printmaking?
We do have a class that's been offered all along, but it's kind of evolved into a professional continuing education class that is open for enrollment through next week. So most classes are closed as far as enrollment, but this particular class is open through next week. It's a printmaking class taught by Royal Nebuchadnezzar. Most of you are probably familiar with his name, but internationally renowned artist who has been teaching at the college now for probably 40 years,
I think. Something like that. Oh, he's not that old. Well, actually, people hear about him a lot, or about this class, I should say, a lot, because I've had the printmakers on here, various and sundry ones, Jen and Vicky and Becky and all kinds of folks, and they all credit Royal Nebuchadnezzar's printmaking class. Oh, and Kirsten Horning, yes. All these people say, I took that class and I found it went right to my heart. I found my way. So this is a great opportunity. So check that out at the college.
It's a wonderful class, and it is available for registration online now.
Online.
So if you go to the schedule, you can see it online.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kristen.
Thank you.
You get your voice back, get healthy, and we'll see you on Thursday night at the opening.
Okay. Hope to see everyone there. Thank you.
Kristen Schock from Clatsop Community College Art Department. And I have some music now from Scott Kasu. He is going to be playing piano at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And he has a flute player with him, and flute and harmonica player, John. Have a listen. Listening to Scott Kasu, and he is going to be at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach on the Peninsula, obviously, Peninsula Arts Center, Washington Peninsula, and he will have flute and harmonica with him, so what you're hearing now could be similar. I don't know about drums, though. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and it's going to be delightful. Scott is, he's been around for a while, and he does fantastic music, and this is going to be, who knows, maybe a lot of Northwest-style stuff, too. And by the way, what you heard earlier was a test of the emergency broadcast system. And that's us. We are your go-to emergency radio station, in addition to being your music, your news, your public affairs and all kinds of other good stuff. KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. And my next guests are here from that very same peninsula I just mentioned. The Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum is in Ilwaco. And I'm going to let my guests explain how this whole project came about. The Community Historian Project is being launched on the October 5th, which is a week from today. But it's running for 15 weeks and then some. That's just the beginning. And my understanding is when they finish with you, if you take part, you are going to know everything that you could possibly know about the peninsula and then some probably. So my guests are Sydney Stevens, whom you've met here before. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Carol.
All right. Glad to have you back again.
Thanks.
And new to me is Donella Lucero. Hi, Donella.
Hi, Carol.
Have you been on radio before?
No, not on this radio.
You've been on other stations.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's not quite a radio virgin, but she is a KMUN virgin.
Close.
And that's close enough, right? So tell us what this project is, how it came about, and how it's going to work.
Okay. I was sort of in at the beginning. I, Sydney. So I'll tell you a little bit about how it came about. Jim Sace, who listeners will know through his work with Middle Village and Station Camp over on the peninsula, had an idea. He felt that our local history, and local can be whatever you want it to be, mm-hmm. I guess, is not necessarily being documented, the ongoing parts of history. Perpetuated.
Okay.
He was worried about it being perpetuated for future generations. And so he had the idea that we should do a master historian project similar to Master Gardener's project. And so we began meeting Jim Sace, Betsy Millard, who's the director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, Kate Gable, who is a columnist for The Observer, and myself. And we just did a lot of talking and brainstorming and decided Master Gardener model wasn't exactly what we needed, but we did want to do something about history, presenting history to people interested, getting them to buy into it and finding their own way to voice history and document it and keep it going. So we first had to wrestle with what's local, and we decided for our purposes it would be Pacific County, the whole county. And then we went from there. I want to say that the kickoff is what we really want to talk about today, and that's going to happen a week from today. But the program itself won't start until January, so people should come to the kickoff and see what's going on. Listen to the Willapa Hills, who will be there, they document local history in a way that, don't we wish we all could do that?
Yeah, they do a great job with their music.
So we hope people will come and get enthused and then take the program.
So I can imagine why he came to you, Sydney, because when you were introducing each of the others, you just said, and me. But you're one of the people who has been steeped in history and found a way to express and to share and to learn more and teach more about the local history. So if we can get a few clones there, we'll be real happy. So now, Donella, what's your job?
Well, I'm going to be the coordinator for the program. So as the classes start, I'm going to keep everyone on task, hopefully, and build this group of participants into a cohesive group. We want them to be able to rely on each other, share successes and failures, go through some of the research. Maybe there's a couple of people that like the same type of something and want to do a project together. The whole idea is it's a unique program. They're getting a lot of opportunities to interact with experts. And
well, that's that was what I was wondering. Who are you, people are going to take classes from whom?
Well, we have a variety of people who are either experts in their field or they experienced it firsthand. You know, there's loggers that are alive now that lived in some of the old logging towns, fishermen that can tell us what fishing was like, even in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. History isn't just the 1880s.
It's, oh, no.
It's yesterday, and so there's been a lot of changes over time, and those need to be documented.
So did you reach out to people or and call specific people and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you like to take part? Or how did it come together? This is a fabulous project. Really.
For the people that are helping us as the experts, we're still reaching out to them.
Okay, that's a good point.
And for people who enjoy history and just want to be a part of this great project, I think this is going to be wonderful for them. And
so mainly people should come a week from tonight. What time is that happening, by the way? Launch
5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
5 to 7, okay, and that's at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. And that way you can find out more about this and decide whether this is something you want to get involved in. I'll tell you, if I lived in Pacific County, I would jump on this. What an opportunity!
It
How
is.
Fascinating for 10th generation locals and for new people. It's amazing,
Absolutely.
Really. I have a question, Danella. Were you a school teacher?
No,
where did you get these skills that you're gonna whip everybody into shape? That's what I'm.
Well, my master's degree is in public history.
Oh, okay.
So I did a lot of that. Where I went to college, taught some classes, and
have you lived here long?
I was born in Ilwaco and lived most of my life on the peninsula.
Okay.
And most recently worked at Fort Columbia, right, as an interpretive.
I work for Washington State Parks as an interpretive specialist.
Okay. So you are one of those experts who will be, or are you just going to do the administration and try to keep out of it?
I was hoping to, but I think there's one section that I'm going to work with.
You won't be able to resist, I can tell. This is kind of like the director. I will never get on stage when I'm directing, except in that play and that play. It sounds like you have a tremendous amount to offer, though, but also in addition to information, also in terms of a way of learning, way of absorbing this, and then how to express and what to do with it, which is, I just love this idea. So there will be 15 weeks of training and then more time to...
Then there's an additional 5 meetings that are 5 hours long that'll give them a little more training on things like oral history and research skills.
This is a college class easily. I mean, beyond that even.
But meant to be fun and interactive and
sure.
and not just sitting there listening to somebody talk.
Sure. Also, you mentioned at the very beginning, and I think that's very important, that the people who take it will be bonding. I can't imagine how not, and we'll be working together on projects. We'll be using each other for support, and each person
Absolutely.
Doesn't have to specialize in everything.
Yeah.
So
no, and that's a really important point. And I think there are people out there that have an individual passion to be a docent or to be a tour guide or perhaps they're a painter and they really want to paint those old 19th century boats that they are gone.
Yeah. And the ones Mary Garvey sings about. Boy, she's another musical
absolutely.
Resource.
Absolutely, and she'll be there. She said, I'll be there.
Oh, yeah. That's her cup of tea also, yeah. Well, it sounds wonderful. So right now we're emphasizing, folks, get to the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco from 5 to 7 a week from tonight. If people can't, but they are interested, what should they do?
They should call. And actually, even if they can, they should call. There's going to be, I think, wine and appetizers and so on. It's going to be a shishi kind of deal. We want to kick it off
now,
right?
But is it only for Pacific County people?
No, anybody can come. Okay. And if you have an interest, in fact, we really hope in our heart of hearts that this will be a pilot program for other places.
We are
definitely inventing this as we go along.
Exactly.
There isn't another one nationally or anywhere else. So.
Why does this not surprise me, Cindy Stevens?
Okay, so the phone number is 360-642-3446. So if you're interested in the program, and especially if you're coming to the kickoff on Friday, please call.
Okay, and if you need that number, you can call after the show, and I will give it to you, too. I am very, very impressed, and that's immediately when I read it. I thought, oh, is this a model? I hope our county picks it up and many others as well, because this is definitely the way to secure all of this and then pass it to the children who will also be getting involved. I can't imagine how they wouldn't. So thank you so very much. Danella Lucero and Sydney Stevens from the Community Historian Project out of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in El Huaco.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for
so
having
much.
Thank
you. You bet. Okay. And I have one more guest coming, so do stay tuned. Also, I did want to dedicate this show, and I have a piece of music up that I'll put on for you, or a piece of poetry by artist Spoon Man. And this goes out to Julian Assange, because what's happening?
This one's called Seditious Citizen. You're not going to like this one. Sedition is the condition the citizen is in when the state is the enemy and the citizen becomes the enemy of the state. I'm an enemy of the state. Jesus was an enemy of the state. Muhammad was an enemy of the state. Gandhi was an enemy of the state. Harriet Tubman was an enemy of the state. Jefferson was an enemy of the state. Rosa Parks was an enemy of the state. Malcolm was an enemy of the state. Jeanne d'Arc was an enemy of the state. 6 million Jews in Europe in the 30s and 40s were enemies, all enemies of the state. Tens of millions of Soviets in Stalin's regime were enemies, enemies of the state. Sedition is the condition the citizen is in when the state is the enemy and the citizen becomes the enemy of the state. I'm an enemy of the state. Wow. Gosh, I guess I can relax for a minute. Thank you very much.
Okay, and that is artist Spoon Man. And in case you hadn't heard the news, that is the latest news that I heard here on KMUN, that Julian Assange is actually being considered an enemy of the state. Enough said. I have my last guest here, who is most welcome. Sid DeLuca is here to tell us about another brand new. I love this place, is so creative. This area, this Columbia Pacific region, Lower Columbia region, is so creative. We just heard from the folks who are putting together a brand new in the world community historian project. Now, I think this may be new for Astoria, Kala Q Film Weekend. It is not this weekend. It is next weekend, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night. I'm going to let Sid tell you about it. My understanding is there are three screenings, but in each screening is a mass of films. So welcome, Sid.
Thank you. Great to be here, Carol.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this. What does Q Film mean?
Well, Q, of course, is an acronym for queer, which encompasses the whole LGBT community, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But of course, you know, like most events that occur here that are labeled Q, It seems like everybody comes out.
It's for everybody. Yeah,
it's for everybody, yeah. You know. And hopefully that'll be the case here, too, mm-hmm. because, you know, we it's going to be a very wonderful month. You know, we have Ron Craig's always wonderful Astoria Film Festival mm-hmm. later in the month. Mm-hmm. But we're presenting more focused on our, you know, queer perspective. But we're excited because we have two West Coast premieres. And ooh. One, the really, really big one, mm-hmm. is called The Marble Faun of Grey Gardens, directed by a guy from Portland, Jason Hay. And his working partner, Steve Palizza, who's in New York. It's the story, for those of you who are familiar with Grey Gardens, the original 1975 documentary mm-hmm. by the Maisel brothers. Jerry Torrey was the handyman gardener referred to by Little Edie Beale as the Marble Faun. And so Steve and Jason have made a documentary movie about his life since, and he's one of the only survivors of that entire Grey Gardens experience. He actually, you know, worked and lived for a while on the old estate. And so this will be the premiere. We also have a film called Saltwater that will be premiering Friday night. We have, as you said, each program, well, Friday night we'll have short films, all different short films from around the world, a lot of different genres.
From around the world?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's one in particular, Czechoslovakian short, mm-hmm. that's okay. just amazing. And also, Saturday, so Friday night we will have shorts, and then we'll have the premiere of Saltwater. And then Saturday afternoon will be all shorts, mm-hmm. including the film that I produced, directed, starred in, called Poison Oaks, which some
Wait
of you may remember.
I see, I'm not familiar with this.
Well, some of you may remember that from last October, actually, when I, okay. the first weekend I moved to Astoria,
yeah.
Marco and Janine showed it at the Columbian Theater.
Oh, my goodness.
When Marco was doing the
How
big
exciting.
Big fat
okay.
gay movie night.
Right, right,
yeah.
right, which I was
And so
move.
That was shown
oh,
there.
Great.
And then a lot of people have asked me to, you know, I kind of feel funny about organizing a film event and throwing my film in, but a lot of people were asking. They
oh,
didn't
for
see
sure.
it before.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
also gives me a chance to do a Q&A.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everyone can come and see how horrible I look in drag.
I think I've seen you in drag, actually.
Only for movies.
Not in my
personal life.
Okay, wow.
Although I have nothing against it. It's mm-hmm. a great expression mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
It's one of those parties, though.
Yeah. And then and then Saturday night we will have shorts, and we will also have, like I said, the West Coast premiere of The Marble Faun of Grey Gardens, which is really exciting because the only other place in the world that this film has shown was at the Maisel Brothers Cinema in New York.
Really?
Yes, that's
So how
it.
Do you get these films?
You spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Schmoozing people?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And also, I was working with a programmer from the South Texas Underground Film Festival who helped me acquire some of the films.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we didn't have the time frame to actually solicit films and mm-hmm. review them, but these were a lot of films that we had known.
Yeah.
And they were proven.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
you know, in other festivals, and you know, the idea of a West Coast premiere is pretty great, but this is the prototype for an ongoing event.
Yes,
if we're successful with this, and if everybody likes this, we'd like to next year. We would like to do a multiple venue festival,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we're not mm-hmm. calling this a festival. We're calling it a weekend.
I noticed that. I wrote fest, and then I said, no, yeah. it says weekend. Okay.
Well, I even slip and yeah. say festival because
yeah.
it's what
a
you know,
film fest. You think
yeah.
of. Now, are the world premiere, the guy who's from Portland, will he be able to be here?
Or he will be here.
He will be here. Okay.
He will be here.
And you will be here as the yeah. Director of your film.
So,
and, the other
and possibly one. Saltwater, which is mm-hmm. a wonderful film. It's comic and dramatic. It's about a man who left the Navy and comes out. And he's having a difficult time with that. That whole don't ask, don't tell is brought up. Mm-hmm. But he's not mm-hmm. only, he's having a difficult time with it in his personal life as
right,
well.
Right. Now, was it fictional, though?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that director may be here as well. So we may wind up with three Q&As.
very exciting, very exciting. Now, I read also that there's going to be some kind of a closing dance party or something.
Yes,
like
Saturday night after the 7:30 screening concludes, which should be about 10 o'clock or so, mm-hmm. I guess, and after the Q&A with Jason, we're going to have a dance party like we love to do at Kala.
Oh, yes, it's got a good space for it.
Yeah.
So timing on these, what's the timing? Friday and Saturday nights and Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6.
4 to 6. Okay.
Friday night 7:30, doors will open at 7, and also same thing on Saturday night, 7:30, doors will open at 7.
Okay.
Including in the ticket price will be the dance. Also, there'll be complimentary snacks.
There are good snacks there too.
Good
I can
snacks.
Guarantee.
And we'll also, of course, have
no host bar,
and we're advising people to go online to www.brownpapertickets.com and buy in advance,
mm-hmm.
only because, as many of you know, Kala is a very small venue, and I don't want anyone to be disappointed.
Right.
I mean, there will be tickets sold, of course, at the door, but I would hate to turn anyone away.
Yeah, and the other thing about that, because I did go there because I had no idea what we were talking about here. How many films? I'm saying three screenings. You mean three films? So I went there, and it's great. The site has the names of the films with some blurbs about them, so you can really figure it out and find out what you want to do. And we're not giving prices here, but there is a special price if you want to do all three screenings. So Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening.
Yeah, you can buy them individually, or you can...
Well, maybe by now... Wait, now I'm thinking it might be too late for the special.
No, special's extended.
Okay. It is. Yeah. Okay, good.
And also, the entire schedule... And descriptions of the films are in this month's...
I bet it's in Hipfish.
Hipfish, of course. Also on hipfishmonthly.com. And if you're on Facebook, of course, it's on Hipfish. And if you're on Facebook, please friend Hipfish.
Mm-hmm.
Hipfish is your friend.
Right.
And friend me, too, if you want.
I like that.
But be prepared.
Oh, my God, this sounds scary. Okay, well, Sid DeLuca, thank you so much I did not know, because I wasn't here for that first film, that I've known you just because you're there, you know, when I go to events. I see you there, but I didn't realize that you were also a filmmaker, et cetera. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Great.
Thank you so much
thank
for coming in
so
and
much.
Sharing this with us. And thanks to Dinah at Kala and Hipfish. Q Film Weekend. October 5th and 6th, that's next week, a week from tonight at 7:30, and Saturday at 4, and again at 7:30. Three separate screenings with lots of films. And congratulations on yet another exciting new. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to put on a little music by one of our old friends who's apparently going to be at Denise Drake. She's going to be at Troll, as she often has been. She's a wonderful performer. That's tomorrow morning at 11 at the old train station as part of the beer cup. I want to tell you what else is going on, including tonight we have the Peace Vigil, Rumpelstiltskin. This is the second and last weekend. And it is tonight and tomorrow night at 7. You know what, folks? Let me let Denise sing for a minute, and then I'll tell you. And about me. Go ahead and have your fun. Someday you'll pay. Oh, boy, you better watch what you're saying. Oh, no, no, no. You better watch what you're saying. That sort of goes along with the seditious. But Denise Drake tomorrow morning, and all that music over at the Beer Fest. Also, Rumpelstiltskin, I started to say, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2 at River City Playhouse in Ilwaco. It is well worth seeing. It's original and very sophisticated music, great performance. Astor Street Opry, talking about sophisticated, topsy-turvy. No, actually, this goes more with the film festival. Topsy-turvy, the boys are girls, the girls are boys, and whatever else they want to be. Friday and Saturday at 7:30, that's tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30. And the Sou'wester has their national camping weekend, Tin Can Tourists, vintage travel trailers, yours or theirs. Tonight they're screening African Queen, which is one of the names of the trailers that my friends Len and Miriam Atkins established, and now Tundi and partner have taken over, and they're just taking them up to another level. The Long, Long Trailer is tomorrow night, along with Acoustica Music, and that's at 7. It's all in Seaview, Washington, at the Beach Approach. Lost Pioneer premiere at 7 at Pine Grove, and that is with Megan Liz Cole, and it's a one-woman show. It should be dynamite. She is an incredible actor. 7 o'clock at Pine Grove in Manzanita. Coaster is featuring a week of August, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. Tomorrow, Assistance League Home Tour, Troll Radio at 7. World Peace Day, Peace for the Children. You heard about that last week. It's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Performing Arts Center, Clatsop Community College. Seaside Art Walk with Hold Fast Tattoo and others. And Scott Casso at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach. Coaster Theater is also doing at 11 to 12:30. Let's Put On a Play. That's for the kids, 8 and up. And it's an ongoing thing, and they'll be doing a performance at the end. Cannon Beach Harvest Festival, 10 to 4 at the Cannon Beach Library. It's a benefit. And then there's also gluten-free baking. Tolavana Hall, that's the Tolavana Arts Colony. And the Lower Nehalem Community Trust is putting this Harvest Festival on. Dots and Doodles has a free demo with live model by Robert Paulman, wonderful artist, from 1 to 3 Saturday. Portland Spook Artist is going to be at the Voodoo with his synthesizer and a video, My Rotten Viscera. It's going to be a trip. I saw the video. Woo-hoo-hoo! Scared me. Bluegrass Jamboree, that's at 8 or maybe 9. Bluegrass Jamboree, 11 to 4 in Tillamook. Stone Carving Workshop at the Bay City Arts Center. Brown's Meat Corn Feed is tomorrow, folks. And the Apollo Archives, 10:30 a.m., a heavy-duty Finnish film. Sunday, Fort George is featuring Simon Cornelis. Healing Magics of the Goddess is in elsewhere, not at the Fort George. Oregon Days of Culture is October 1st through 8th. Hoffman Photo Salon is on Tuesday. And Thursday, don't forget, Clatsop College Gallery, Lifelines, the Maritime Museum at Fort George, Science on Tap, and Yummies has new art with Camille Youngquist.